Sir Vic Lakehear climbed down off his horse and watched the groom lead it away. I really ought to be in bed, he reflected. The one thing I know I'm going to need is rest. Unfortunately, his lips twitched in a humorless smile, sleep is also the one thing I know isn't going to happen. Actually, he thought as he turned and headed into his office in the city's citadel, that wasn't the one thing he knew was going to happen. Reports had come in over the course of the day as lookouts spotted the steadily moving sails drawing inexorably closer to Farade. The semaphore system had kept Lakehear informed of that implacable approach, although that was a mixed blessing. It hadn't done a great deal to inspire peace of mind, and he was also aware that his lookouts hadn't seen anything the Carisians hadn't chosen to let them see. Once they had cleared East Pass, they hadn't had to pass close enough for any shore-bound lookout to see and report them. For that matter, most of the semaphore posts themselves were effectively defenseless against naval landing parties. The Carisians could have cut the signal chain at any of several points, if they'd chosen to. The only question in Lakehear's mind was why any of them had allowed themselves to be seen. He supposed it might be simple arrogance, but somehow he doubted that.
I suppose it's possible they're deliberately letting us know they're coming so we can get the civilians out of the way, he reflected. I'd like to think that was the case, at any rate, even if it is better than the bastards who ordered the slaughter of their civilians deserve.
He grimaced and shook his head.
Better not even be thinking that way, Vic. Whatever else, the church is still the church. The fact that the men who serve her at any given moment may be less than worthy of her can't change that. Besides, the way things seem to be headed, there's not going to be any room for divided allegiances.
He entered his lamp-lit office and found Captain Kerman waiting for him. The captain stood quickly as Lakehear walked into the room, but the garrison commander waved him back into his chair.
Sit, he commanded, and grinned sourly. If you've been as busy as I have today, your feet can probably use the break.
That they can, sir, Kerman acknowledged as he settled back.
For myself, at this particular moment, it's my arse,
Lakehear confessed, circling the desk and seating himself rather more gingerly in the padded chair behind. Kerman cocked his head, and Lakehear shrugged.
I've just completed a circuit of the entire waterfront. We're as ready as we're going to get, and I've ordered the men to get some rest while they still can.
Kerman nodded in understanding, and Lakehear stretched hugely, twisting his shoulders to try to work out some of the tension kinking his spine. Then he looked back at the younger officer.
I take it your men are ready, Captain?
Yes, sir, they are. But, sir,
I still wish you'd... Don't say it, Thomas!
Lakehear's raised hand interrupted him.
Someone has to be in charge of the detachment. I picked you because you're one of the best men for the job. If it happens that I have additional motives for selecting you, that's my business, not yours. But don't make me repeat myself, Captain,
Lakehear said, his tone much sterner than it had been. For a moment or two, Kerman seemed to hover on the point of continuing his protest. Then he thought better of it, or more probably realized it wasn't going to do him any good, and nodded.
Yes, sir. In that case, though,
he stood,
I suppose I'd better be going. Good luck, sir. And to you, Captain.
Lakehear rose to return Kerman's salute as the captain came to attention. Then the younger man nodded once, turned, and left the office. Lakehear sank back into his chair, gazing at the open doorway for several seconds, then shrugged and turned to the sheaf of messages Lieutenant Charing had stacked neatly on his blotter. Most of them were simply readiness reports, and the handful that weren't didn't really require any action or decisions from him. It was too late for anything he might have done at this point to affect what was going to happen come morning. He finished the last message, set it aside,
and tipped back in his chair, thinking about the youthful captain he'd just sent off to take charge of the military escort he'd provided to maintain order among the civilians he'd ordered to evacuate the city. Kerman was right about the reason Lakeyear had selected him for that duty, of course. What had happened to the Carisian sailors and their families here in Farade hadn't been Thomas Kerman's fault. In fact, it had happened because the very careful orders he'd given beforehand had been totally disregarded. Unfortunately, the Carisians couldn't know that. Lakeyear had absolutely no idea how much Caleb of Caris knew about the details of what had happened here. It was unlikely, to say the least, that there'd been time for the church's propaganda to reach Caris before this fleet was dispatched. It was remotely possible, however, and if Caleb had seen the church's version and compared it to the reports of his own people who had escaped the carnage, he'd be perfectly justified in assuming the massacre had been planned from the beginning. And if it should happen that he had assumed that, and the officer who'd been in direct command of the troops responsible for it fell into his hands, the consequences for that officer might be severe.
And rightly so, if it had been planned, Lakeyear thought, which suggests certain unpleasant possibilities for my own immediate future if things go as badly as I'm afraid they may.
Well, if they did, they did. And at least he'd gotten Kerman safely out of the way.